Welcome to the February 7th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Victoria Taylor. The theme for the service is the beloved community.
Good morning and welcome to another snowy morning in Blacksburg, Virginia. I'm Reverend Pam Phillips, and I'm delighted and honored to serve this congregation as your minister.
I am Victoria Taylor. I'm a worship associate, and it is an honor to serve this morning with Reverend Pam Phillips at the UUCNRV. If you are with us for the first time, welcome. We're glad you're here. There is a link to a virtual visitor's card in the chat. Fill that out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. After the service, we'll be having some social time. We'll go into breakout rooms of 3 to 6 people for a chance to meet for conversation. After about 15 minutes, there's an opportunity to switch and talk to other people. I've met some really interesting members of our congregation this way. There are also opportunities throughout the week to meet virtually or on the grounds. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. And we also want to thank all the volunteers who make all these activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you would like to share aloud, you would like to have shared aloud this morning, that link is also in the chat. You can fill that out and it will be incorporated into our service. And now I'd like to invite Jamie McReynolds to come onto us to make a small presentation. Jamie?
Thank you. Flowers.
So Jamie, can you tell all these wondering people what the flowers are in honor of, please?
She wants you to explain what that's about. Thank you. Here he is.
Yeah, this is a Barbara Taylor and I conspired to do this presentation this morning without Pam knowing. So it's a surprise. And let's go over here and give them full view.
So what we are celebrating today is that Pam has received full fellowship.
Yeah, I got in touch with the women's breakfast group, and several people thought it was a good idea to get you to give her some flowers in the service. So congratulations, Pam.
Thank you so much.
We are so grateful to have Pam as our settled minister.
And for those of you that aren't aware of the way we ministers develop in UU congregations is once you become a minister, once you're ordained and you start serving a congregation, you have to go through an evaluation process on an annual basis for 3 years and convince the ministerial fellowship committee you deserve full fellowship. So it's a bit of an ordeal and definitely something to be celebrated.
Jazz hands. All right. And now I'd like to introduce another member of our staff, Karen Hager, who is the Director of Lifespan Faith Development, and she'll tell us what's going on with religious education.
We have a special event coming up next weekend that you will not want to miss.
Your best stuffed friend can join our special stuffed animal sleepover next weekend. And yes, this is open to all kids, no matter how old you are. Stuffies will spend next weekend with us having adventures that you can watch on Facebook. They'll also be attending next Sunday service, so make sure you join us to see what part they play. Registration for our sleepover is requested but not required, but it does help us with planning. So if you know you'll be joining us, please click the registration link in the weekly announcements and let us know. Now before I go, here's what the kids were up to in RE last week. Our pre-K class read the storybook Scaredy Squirrel at Night and had fun making acorn treats. Our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Piper discussed being afraid to try new things and how it feels to conquer that fear, and made sand art jars. And our middle school group watched the Simpsons episode, Missionary Impossible, and discussed missionaries. See you next week.
Thank you, Karen.
And now we'd like to invite River Ember to lead us in lighting our chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
And the fire of service.
Thank you, River and John. Today's opening words, entitled Blessed Are We, by Andrea Hawkins Camper. Blessed are we who gather with open hearts together in this space today. Blessed are we, the chalice lighters of resistance, justice, love, and faith. Blessed are we, the heretics, the outcast, the walkers of our own way. Blessed are we, the border crossers, the refugees, the immigrants, the poor, the wanderers who are not lost. Blessed are we, the transgressors, the trespassers, the passerbys, the cause takers, the defiant, the compliant. Blessed are we, the hand extenders, the sign makers, the protesters, the protectors. Blessed are we, the trans women, the trans men, the non-binary, the cisgender, the multigender, the no gender. Blessed are we, the friend, the stranger, the lonely, the hidden, the visible, the authentic. Blessed are we who rise in solidarity. Blessed are we who cannot. Blessed are we who do not. Blessed are we, for this is our beloved community, and this is who we are.
This morning, instead of reading our covenant, our agreement on how we want to be together, I want us to consider instead our congregational values and the fundamental reason for the existence of this religious community. In other words, our mission. Each week you'll find the words inspire, create, and transform on the bottom of the order of service. And sometimes we'll read the three statements, inspire spiritual and ethical growth, create compassionate community, transform our community and the world through courageous love. But today I want us to consider the elaboration on those statements that were created by the refining team who wrote them. Avi Schroff, George Lally, Frank Napolitano, Mark Benson, and Jane Kempel Benson. I want to share those so that you can see them as I read them aloud. Inspire. We inspire the search for truth, meaning, and purpose by honoring a process of inquiry and discovery that connects each person more deeply to life itself. Create. Together we create and affirm compassionate community by offering celebration in times of joy and support in times of sorrow. We embrace hope within and beyond our walls. Transform. We transform by calling forth our best selves, individually and collectively. We serve with courageous love to heal a hurting world, address human injustice, and affirm the sacred nature of the web of all existence. Quite a mission.
One of the important ways that we support that mission statement is by our half plate collection. It is our practice each week to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU affiliated organization. This week's recipient is a fundraiser for the Bradford UU Community Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You might remember that their meeting house was vandalized during their sign during the Black Lives Matter protests in Kenosha. And any additional funds then required to replace the sign will go to support the Black Lives Matter community partners in Kenosha. It's really easy to give. We're not going to pass a plate in our virtual platform, but we have a Give Plus app, and you can even set that to give weekly. So if you don't come to service, it still gives, and half of your contributions will go to a community partner. You can also text FUND to 844-909-2617 or send a check. If you've never used these, you can look in the order of service for more information, and you can give throughout the week using these same platforms. Thank you for giving generously. And let's accept those offerings that are sent either through mail or the virtual web. We'll read our offering words. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community. This ritual also serves as a constant reminder that we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
And we continue in the spirit of offering by offering ourselves the joys and sorrows of our lives. After reading that elaboration on our mission statement, I understand even better why this is such an important part of our time together. So I was testing out the joys and sorrows, and the first joys, I wanted to share my joy in receiving full fellowship, and I am joyful and surrounded by flowers and they smell heavenly. But I also want to extend my gratitude to all the members of the board and the Committee on Ministries, because they had to fill out these really long evaluations. So I couldn't have made it through this process without them and really without all of you. So let me share that joy with you.
Let's continue this time of contemplation by settling into a guided visualization. So settle in and remove distraction. You might even want to turn off the video or turn around the monitor. Minimize your screen so that you can take this opportunity to go inward. Feel your feet on the floor, your body in the chair. And let's take a few letting go breaths. Releasing the unspoken sentences. Our tightly held opinions. Our tendency to judge. Let go of all those outside things and just be here. Wherever here is, that's where you are. You can't be anywhere else. Now touch in with your body. Feel your feet on the floor, your seat in the chair. And take a moment to think of all the jobs your body has done for you today, this week, this year, this lifetime. This is your body. You're the only one who gets to have it. And think of some of the places you and your body have been, and some of the things that you and your body have been able to do. Yeah, that one, that thought. Think of the gifts you've developed together and all those gifts and experiences waiting to be developed and to have had, to be had. And think of the people in your life that you've touched. That one. Call to mind one particular incident or relationship which has left an impression. Maybe a family member, a neighbor, a student, a coworker, someone, sometime in which you know you contributed. Think about that. You did that. Now, who else, who was there? What did they learn? And after that time, where did they go? And who did they meet? You might not really know, but think about it. And then think about who, to whom, or what that they contributed. And what might have happened because of what you did. You did that. Good for you. Feel that connection. Feel your place in the interconnected web. It's got you. We've got you. Now let's say farewell to those memories, layer by layer, pausing to acknowledge yourself and those relationships. Feel your body again, back in your chair. You can open your eyes and rejoin this community. We're glad you're here. Our reading today is by Reverend Mark Morrison. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of their own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed.
Speaking of connections, the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed is a small link in a chain that led to my husband and I being together. It was at the first General Assembly where Jamie and I met. We went to one of Reverend Morrison Reed's workshops and sat next to each other. And so later when I met Mark in seminary, I said, "You're the reason I'm married to my husband." He was delighted by the connection. We are part of an interdependent, interconnected web. And today we are considering, what does it mean to be a people of beloved community? Each month we explore a different theme in worship on Sunday morning and in our Soul Matters covenant groups, and beloved community is our theme for February. An appropriate theme for February, given that this is Black History Month and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King used beloved community as one of his touchstones. It was part of his dream. And here at UUC, we aspire to be a people of compassionate community. It's part of our mission statement. So I thought might be good to begin this month of exploration by comparing the two. Beloved and compassionate community. But as I read more about not just King's conception of beloved community, but also about the early 20th century philosopher Josiah Royce, who coined the phrase, I realized that it is not a fair comparison because we're not talking about the same thing. It's a matter of scale, like comparing a part to the whole. part of the problem is that creating compassionate community is just a part of our aspiration of who we want to be as a religious community. One part of our mission. Now, that mission statement was created through a long process before I got here, engaged in by the refining team, so-called because, as George Lally explained, we took the raw material of ideas and suggestions from the congregation and refined or fashioned them into a mission and covenant statement. This included meeting with groups of congregants many times and working with Reverend Dara, my predecessor. And as Avi Schaff put it, through many hours of discussion, we arrived at what we believe to be the essence of our congregational values and the fundamental reason for the existence of this religious community. As I read the mission, I really appreciate the way the refining team crafted and ordered the statements, beginning with the individual, moving out to the community, and moving further out to the world. The mission to inspire is really about the individual, searching for truth, meaning, and purpose in a way that connects each person more deeply to life. We may be growing spiritually and ethically together in worship, in faith development classes, in service, but the growth is really our own. The mission to create is all about this community, celebrating in times of joy, supporting in times of sorrow, embracing hope. Its focus is on the bonds that bind us to each other and to this congregation. And finally, the mission to transform takes us from the individual and this community outward, calling forth our best selves individually and collectively to heal a hurting world, address human injustice, and affirm the sacred nature of the web of all existence. From the individual to this community, to the wider world. This makes sense. We may begin by growing spiritually and ethically as individuals, but it is only when we come together in community that we can truly transform ourselves. And only when we transform ourselves as a community that we can work collectively to transform the world. Which sounds like a pretty big proposition, doesn't it? But it's only at this level that we can begin to approach the concept of the beloved community. Because both Josiah Royce and Martin Luther King Jr. were talking about not just a community, like our congregation, but the community of all humankind, if not of all creation. So, at the risk of oversimplifying Royce's concept of community, it encompasses a similar trajectory to our mission from the individual to the whole of humanity. As Professor Jacqueline Ann Kegley writes, Royce struggled with the problem of community and the relations of the individual and the community, both philosophically and practically. And he was concerned about the impact of an extreme individualism, and particularly with the heroic individualism associated with Walt Whitman, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and William James. Those names sound familiar to us as Unitarian Universalists, don't they? Royce recognized that the task of building authentic individuality and encouraging the growth of fulfilling moral communities were inextricably bound together. Worthwhile individuality and community arising out of their mutual interaction in a creative, ongoing, infinite process. And finally, for Royce, beyond the actual communities that we directly encounter in life, there is the ideal, the beloved community, which includes all of mankind. From the individual, to the community, to the world. Now, there's some speculation as to how much Royce's concept of beloved community informed Martin Luther King's, but the scale is certainly the same. As the King Center website explains, for Dr. King, the beloved community was not a lofty utopian goal to be confused with the rapturous image of the peaceable kingdom in which lions and lambs coexist in idyllic harmony. Rather, the beloved community was for him a realistic, achievable goal that could be attained by a critical mass of people committed to and trained in the philosophy and methods of nonviolence. It goes on, Dr. King's beloved community is a global vision in which all people can share in the wealth of the world. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, and homelessness will not be tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. I might add siblinghood. In the beloved community, international disputes will be resolved by peaceful conflict resolution and reconciliation of adversaries. Love and trust will triumph over fear and hatred. Peace with justice will prevail over war and military conflict. Dr. King's beloved community was not devoid of an interpersonal group or international conflict. Instead, he recognized that conflict was an inevitable part of human experience. But he believed that conflicts could be resolved peacefully and adversaries could be reconciled through a mutual determined commitment to nonviolence. No conflict, he believed, need erupt in violence. Not a lofty utopian goal, but a realistic, achievable goal? It is hard to understand how King could be so optimistic in the face of all the violence directed toward him. He was definitely a universalist, wasn't he? Believing that we could create heaven on earth. So you see what I mean about comparing our aspiration to create compassionate community to the beloved community. From here to here. And how do we bridge that gap? One of the ways that I've found to wrap my head around how we might engage more intentionally in building the beloved community has been the workshops offered by the Transforming Hearts Collective. This past Thursday, we started our second round of their class on transgender inclusion in congregations. And they begin in that first session by teaching about beloved community as the basis for transforming our culture as a congregation. We will unpack what that might mean for us at UUC in the month ahead. But it begins with the notion that when we say we mean everyone. It also begins with not assuming that we are all the same, but recognizing that we show up in all kinds of ways. And that we are all connected. Recognizing and really believing that we're all connected, not just within this congregation, but connected with all of humankind, is the key. As Mark Morrison Reed writes, the central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. Now, it's notable that Morrison Reed doesn't say that religious communities are called to create connections. The connections are already here. Victoria beautifully evoked that web of interconnection, of interdependence, with her meditation. And the end is not just to celebrate those bonds, that web, but to be inspired by them to act for justice. Because once we've really felt those bonds, once we realize and know in our bones that we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny, as Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, only then will we truly understand and believe that whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. No matter who we are, no matter how we show up. Now, our opening words this morning celebrate the kind of diversity we aspire to welcome to our compassionate community. And they remind us not to assume who we are. Blessed are we who gather with open hearts together in this space today. Blessed are we, the trans women, the trans men, the non-binary, the cisgender, the multigender, the no gender. Blessed are we, the friend, the stranger, the lonely, the hidden, the visible, the authentic. Blessed are we, for this is our beloved community, and this is who we are. In the spirit of King's more global conception, I invite us to remember that if we are to truly become people of beloved community, that we not limit ourselves to feeling blessed by belonging to this particular religious community, that this is just our beloved community. Instead, let us strive to make this religious community a microcosm of the more global, the beloved community, living into all the parts of our mission, inspiring our individual growth, creating compassionate community so that we may transform ourselves and act collectively to transform the world. For all of us, for the we that means everyone. So, in the week ahead, I invite us all to see, to feel the connections, to unveil the bonds that bind us each to all. And I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the fire of commitment, the light of truth, or the warmth of community. Let us take those with us out into the world until we are together again.